IllBeHonest.com.
Brethren, I am convinced that when we pray and fast, it is not useless. It is not without effect. And I know I have said this before. I wish I could find it. There's so many things I read in the past, and then I'd like to find them, and I have no idea where they are. And sometimes I've spent hours looking for certain things. But there was, I think, possibly to the best of my recollection, when John Piper did a biographical sketch on either Jonathan Edwards or David Brainerd, I believe it was him that I heard make the statement that he read where Jonathan Edwards said, many of you know that David Brainerd died in Edwards' house, and so he had much close fellowship and communion with him in the last days of Brainerd's life, who, by the way, died at 29 or 30. He was very young, after having been a missionary to the American Indians. But Edwards said that Brainerd had communicated to him. By the way, Brainerd was often given to days of prayer and fasting. He would go into the woods. In fact, if you read his journal, you really see that he never appreciated the woods. He never appreciated... I grew up in the country. I love the animals and the sunshine and the rain and the seasons, and I loved being out in the woods. To Brainerd, it was a terrible place. It just seems like he didn't admire things in it. But he'd go out in the middle of those woods and he'd literally spend a day or sometimes several days, and he would pray and he would fast. And in fact, it was him. He was one. I think Whitfield, I remember him as well, this being true. But they would literally go out and get on their knees and pray, and they would melt circles in the snow, giving off the heat of their body as they wrestled with the Lord in prayer. And what Edwards had written about Brainerd is that Brainerd had communicated to him that never in his life did he pray and fast, but he saw some manifest evidence of an answer to that prayer and fasting. And that has stuck with me, because I am absolutely certain, brethren, we need to be careful, because unbelief can creep in. Wow, this doesn't really matter. No, it does matter. It matters. We have it on the authority of Christ's promise that it matters. You know the text, Matthew chapter 5. Actually, Matthew chapter 6. But you know, when it comes to fasting, Jesus taught this in Matthew 6:16. When you fast, do not look gloomy. Now, it's very interesting. Jesus never told his disciples on what regularity to fast. He never told them that there was a certain time that they needed to do it. You may remember, how many of you know when the Pharisees fasted? How many times a week did they fast? Well, we have it on one biblical account that there was a Pharisee who was boasting in his prayers before the Lord. You may recall that account in Luke's Gospel, and he said, I pray twice in the week. And but never are we commanded to do that. There's no command on any certain frequency of prayer or fasting. The frequency with fasting is what? We're to pray how often? Without ceasing. Now, if you fast without ceasing, you're probably in trouble, right? So, I mean, fasting is something that we enter into seasons, we enter into periods of our life, and oftentimes questions come up. Well, what is it? I don't know about it. That is almost every single time that I announce that we're going to have a week of prayer and fasting, somebody will email me or come up to me and ask me, I don't know about that. Help me out. What I often do is say, John Piper's done a book called A Hunger for God. I think it is a tremendous book on fasting. It is the best one that I personally have read, and I think I have more than just that one. But what we find here is Jesus doesn't give us any type of frequency. He just says it like this, when you fast. And without being precise as to his schedule to our fasting, he is definitely making the assumption that we will fast. And he says, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces and their fasting may be seen by others. I mean, they fasted because it made them look righteous. And Jesus is just saying, remember what Jesus said in the beginning of this? He said, unless your righteousness, what? Exceeds that of the Pharisees, what? What does he say? You will never enter the kingdom of heaven. You say, okay, so what? I have to work and be righteous and I have to do all these things better than the Pharisee and I have to work harder, try harder, and I'll get in? Well, basically, brethren, what it is this. Is it's looking to Christ in faith, the Spirit of God comes into you and the gospel releases. It's the power of God unto salvation. And salvation isn't just the forgiveness of sins. Salvation is being saved from the power of sin. Salvation is being the workmanship of Christ unto good works, being zealous of good works. It is God at work within us. It is God changing us. It is being a new creation. When we look to Christ in faith, that faith unleashes power into the life of the believer that is radically transforming. And if there isn't a true, real, deep righteousness that is being worked out in the life of a person, well, it's a demonstration that they don't have the salvation of God. I mean, that's really the issue. Our righteousness had better exceed it, because the salvation of God includes this massive transformation of an individual and creating them into His workmanship that are going to be zealous of good works. They're going to be praying people. They're going to be fasting people. They're going to be giving people. There are going to be people that on the day of judgment, Jesus Christ is going to be able to say, you know, when I was sick, you came and visited me. Well, Lord, when did we come visit you? Well, as often as you did it to one of the least of these, my little children, you did it to me. I mean, that's, you see, our works are going to give testimony as to whether God was actually at work within us, whether He was producing this type of thing. So, away with all this, away with all the artificial aspect of this. Look, there's a purpose for fasting, and it's not to show yourself off to other people as being religious. There's a deeper reality. There's a deeper righteousness tied into the whole fasting. And what is it? Well, it's this. Truly I say to you, they've received their reward. What did they want? They wanted the applause of men, and they got it, and they received what they were after. But when you fast, anoint your head, wash your face, that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret. You see what's driving this? Faith is driving this. Not to be seen by men, faith. In other words, you don't care whether anybody else knows that you're fasting. In fact, you go out of your way to make it not look like you're fasting. Because the point is, you really don't care what other people think. The whole point behind fasting is you're making a connection with your Father in heaven. That's what is behind fasting. You're going to Him because, like John was saying, we are weak. We are weak, we are needy, we are with nothing. Jesus said, without me you can do nothing. We are a people who if He doesn't give to us, we don't have. But He sets Himself forth as Jehovah Jireh. He is the God that provides. Ebenezer. How many of you know what Ebenezer means? Hitherto, God has been our help, right? I mean, brethren, fasting is for people that have a confidence that God alone is our help. God alone is our provider. God is our help. And so, Don't fast that your fasting may be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Now look, people say, well, what should I do during fasting? And, you know, should I miss one meal? Should I not eat for a whole day? Should I give up drinking and eating? And sometimes we even talk about other things. You know, maybe Paul talked about a husband and a wife and possibly giving up sexual intimacy for a season for the sake of prayer. I mean, there are different things to fast from. In other words, different things to set aside so that I can more focused. You see what the issue really is. If it is appropriate for a season of time for a man and a woman for the sake of prayer to set aside certain things or to set aside food for a season, look, we are not given any specific rules. So you basically have liberty. And what we don't want to be legalistic with this at all. And just because you heard that somebody else fasted or they do fast for 7 days or 10 days or 40 days doesn't mean you have to do that. Just because somebody else fasts in a certain way, what you need to do is find out, you know, what are the things in life. And there are times, listen, what is significant about setting aside food? Well, why is it that? I mean, what is the significance there? Well, brethren, I'll tell you. You one of the things is you find out what really controls you in life. I mean, we tend to it's a time of just saying, I am not going to be controlled by those things. I'm going to set them aside. I'm going to allow my mind just to be focused on the Lord, not to be taken up with those things. And I mean, one of the things that I find is, how often do we eat? I mean, if we took those times that we eat, and I mean, just during one day, if I said, I'm not going to eat for an entire day, and I am just going to set those times aside for real, purposeful, determined, vigilant prayer. Well, you think about how many times during the day you eat, and if you're able to give yourself to seasons like that. And listen, what we find is there is a promise. Your Father who sees in secret will reward you. I mean, if there's why food? Well, I mean, it's one of the things in life. It's one of the physical appetites that's really controlling to us. And when we set that thing aside, there's something there that says, God, I want you more. I want your reward more. I want this intimacy with you more. Lord, I am in desperate need, and I need you more than I need that. And there is a reward promised. And Brainerd's testimony, he saw the reward every time. And I really believe that eternity will tell that every time we had a week of prayer and fasting, there was a reward. Because, I don't know how many of you, I don't go around and take any kind of, I don't hand out any kind of questionnaire, and I don't do any follow-up after the weeks of prayer and fasting and find out how many actually were involved. I just hope you are. I trust God is building a church that is constrained by the Word of God. And if you are His people and His Spirit dwells within you and the Word of God has a place in your life, if you're convicted by it, you fear not following it, if you're that wise man who builds his house on the rock and you're one who not only hears, but you're a hearer and a doer of it, I trust that when you see things like this, when you fast, you realize, oh, Jesus expects us to fast. When you see he that sees in secret will reward you, and you see that promise, I hope your faith reaches out and grabs that and says, yes. I mean, brethren, you know what fasting is for? Fasting is for people who they have needs. They need help. It's for people who are desperate. Fasting is for that. It's a sign of desperate people. Fasting is for people that have faith. that have a desperate faith, that say, God has given me promise in His Word, and I'm laying hold of it, and I'm going to fast because I believe it's for people that look at their life and they say, you know what, I've got some important things in my life. We've got some important things going on in this church. We are trying to do things that are just absolutely impossible in the strength of the arm of the flesh. And so, please, I ask you, brethren, you say, well, what if I'm not a member of the church? That doesn't matter. It's good to belong to a church. It's good to be committed to a church. Now, I'm not saying that doesn't matter. I'm just saying whether you're in the church or out of the church, your prayers, if you're praying and fasting, like for our missionary team that's headed out to India, God, if you're a child of God, God hears you whether you're a member of this church, a member of another church, or determining whether you should become a member of a church. But I mean, the whole thing is, I know some of the folks in here, you're not members of the church, but if you hear my voice, you see this, you're constrained by this. I ask you, please, give yourself just as much to prayer and fasting from now through Wednesday. Join in with us. I mean, we covet those prayers. We covet that fasting. Every time I get emails and somebody tells me from somewhere around the world, we pray for you, I write them back and I tell them that, thank you. That is no small thing to me, to know that people are praying for us. When I hear Leslie Smith sitting there 89 years old, or maybe he's 90 by now, he can't hardly walk or get out of his house, but I hear that he has our picture there and he prays for us, that means something. I'm sure when John hears, people are praying for him while they're over in India. We just don't even know it matters. It matters. In the way that God has designed His kingdom, prayer and fasting matters. Things happen that would not have happened if that prayer and that fasting would not have taken place. Victories are won through those prayers and fasting. Spiritual strongholds fall because of that prayer and that fasting. So brethren, I encourage you, I ask you, if this is new to you, I don't want to overload you, I don't want to inundate you with things, I don't want to overwhelm. But I would just, if you're new to it, and I would ask you to at least consider fasting through one meal. Just dedicate a certain season, a lunchtime or a dinner time, to just, you know, if you have to go off to work somewhere, when your lunchtime or dinner time at work comes along and you have an hour, or how much ever time they give you, even if it's a half hour, just, you know, say, I'm not going to the bank today, I'm not going to go out and eat, I'm not going to do this, I'm not going to do that, I'm going to find a closet somewhere, go sit in the bathroom at work, go out to your car and sit there, whatever it is, and just pour out your heart. Go through those things that God has most burdened you for, those things that you see as a church we are in most desperate need of, the needs of our missionary team in Peru, and the Urbans, their team working down there in Guadalajara, the Hamiltons and their team working in China, Trevor and the team of all those that work with Asi Pamatron and the Fuao people and all the abundant different missionaries there in Indonesia and the different groups that we support there throughout India, John and the ladies as they return over there, and the Sierra and Amy as they start this ministry there with the Grace House India. Pray for our Grace Houses here. Pray, brethren, pray. Pray that God would save in these. We meant these to be gospel ministries. We meant for this to be an opportunity for us to be able to get more deeply involved in people that are out here on the east side that may be homeless, may be in difficult, destitute situations where we'd be able to pour the gospel into them. Please pray for that. Pray for these things. Brethren, we are in a battle, and these are the weapons by which we fight. It's not by sword and shield and helmet in the physical sense. Those that win the day, the overcomers, they do it by faith. And prayer and fasting are weapons of faith. They're for those who really believe the promises of God and lay hold on them. Listen, when you say, what do I do when I'm fasting? You take the promises of God to God and say, Lord, Father, You've promised. And the reward is what? The reward is He comes through with His promises. He answers. He gives according to what He's promised to give. You take those promises to Him, brethren. You are not being presumptuous ever when you take a promise that God has given to you and you take it to Him. It is not presumptuous. It is faith. God gave those promises to be believed. He gave them for you to plead before Him and not to let Him go until He gives you answer. Brethren, it is the church's calling to take the gospel forth. And it is not only our calling to take the gospel forth. More than that, it is our calling to make disciples. You think about that. You think about the absolute and utter impossibility of making disciples unless He saves. He's telling us to make disciples when He makes disciples. To me, I see a promise in that. But brethren, we win the day on our knees. So God help us, brethren. The spirit of supplication and prayer, may it rest upon us. May it rest upon each of us individually. Well, amen.